Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
Well, this is our second week on What is Church? And last week we talked about church is a group of people that have declared Jesus to be Lord. And in declaring that, they're following him hard because he is Lord. They've declared it now instead of waiting till later when every knee shall bow, tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. They've made it their life now, and that's exciting. Today we're talking about church as a community. It's a body, and it's more than meets the eye. It's not just like we got together and said, hey, this is our group. Though sometimes you may look around and say, man, I came to this church and there are some really wonky sheep here. You may say, is this my team? How many ever grew up on a playground where you got together and they picked teams? And they start picking the very first, the very best kid gets picked first. That's probably Aaron in her class. Like, that kid gets picked first, the kid that can hit and throw and run fast or has the level of popularity, and then it goes down from there. How many kids do I have here that are picked last? Yeah. I went to different schools all the time. They didn't know who you were, like, last, you know, and I hated that. And then you get on your team, you're like, seriously, this is my team? You looked around, you're like, can I trade teams? How many have ever said those words? Can I just switch teams? Because my team stinks. I looked at my team, and I already decided we're losers. And there are times where you can walk into church, and that might be how you feel sometimes. You may look around and say, oh, man, I need a new team. But hold on. Because I believe God knits us together. How many of you have ever been tempted to choose a different family? You know what I mean? You didn't pick your family. They're just there. And you look around and you say to yourself, this is my family? Yeah, that's your family, man. They got your DNA. But a church family, in some ways, is more unique and more special even than a biological one because God's doing something here. We may come from different places, have different personalities, different backgrounds, all kinds of different things working in us. You may look around and say, man, I don't have a lot in common with everybody around me, but let me stop you right there. You do. And I want to talk a little bit about what it is to be part of a church community, a church family, a church body. So Ephesians chapter 4 has some things to say about this, and there are things worth knowing about, and there are things worth fighting for. There are things worth getting serious about. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, we're going to look at what Paul has to say here. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You know, when you come to Jesus, it's not just something, man. When you make Jesus Lord, it's big. It's a calling. It's something to take seriously. And Paul's saying, hey, live a life worthy of what you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. When I think worthy calling, I'm thinking, no, work hard, get up. Strive. No, he's saying be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit. That's kind of cool. So we could talk about big church. There's the church everywhere. Which meets all over the place, Goodyear, Buckeye, West Valley, Arizona, United States, the world. And there's one body. We're not divided. We have local expressions of that body because how many know it'd be tough to be a part of a church of like a billion today? It might be tough to like get to be known. So we have local bodies. But there's one. He says there's one Spirit. This is what's so cool. I could transplant us this morning, and we could head to Ethiopia, where I know the senior pastor in Addis Ababa, and we could be in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and did you know what? You would sense the presence of Jesus there, because the same Holy Spirit that's God of the church there is the same Spirit that's here. One Spirit. Not a bunch of spirits. One. And he goes on. He says, there's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I like that he says one spirit, one Lord, one God and Father. This is the Trinity at work here. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, all at work, one. Three but one. I love in Genesis when it said, God says, let us make man in our own image. Who's the us there? God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. In perfect unity, in perfect harmony. Did you know God didn't create you because he was bummed out and lonely? Some people think that God created man because he was lonely and needed something to do and needed a companion. No! God was perfectly fine with his perfect small group, his family. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Did you know that there's perfect unity in the Godhead? In fact, some theologians call it the dance. They have this perfect, harmonious dance. And when Paul's saying, hey, live a life worthy of the calling you've received, what is that calling? That calling is you're included in God in Christ through the Holy Spirit. You're brought to this party. You're brought to this perfect unity, this perfect love, this perfect dance. So get in step. How many dancers I have here? Okay, how many go to the wedding and thank your dancer? Okay, I've seen you. I've seen you before. And the music's out there, and there's always like this like bumping tune, and you're the guy out there, typically you're white, and you're out there going. And everybody's laughing at you, but you think you are in tune, you're in step. No, you're not. Sometimes if you're invited to someone's house, people are like, hey, come to my house, but there are certain rules in certain houses. And I would think the more important, the bigger the invitation, and the more serious the rules, the more attention is deserved towards those rules. And we've been invited to the household of God that says, hey, fight for unity. Why? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they're in perfect harmony, perfect love, perfect unity. Could you imagine walking into the house saying, oh, I'm causing trouble? You'd be like the guy that's dancing the wrong tune. The music's playing, but you're not dancing to it. See, unity is one of the really important things in a church. Paul tells us to fight for it. He tells us to strive for it. In fact, we have a picture of why unity is so important. In Genesis chapter 11, the flood happens. Noah and his family are saved. They're let out of the ark. God gives a rainbow as his promise that he'd never destroy the whole earth with water again. And he tells them to go, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. And what do? They stay in one place. They don't obey. Then they start building a tower to the heavens. It's called the Tower of Babel. And in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, the Lord said, if as one people speak in the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Meaning people unified could get a whole lot of things done. That's when God came down and separated the languages, confused them all. Psalms 33, verse 1 through 3, the psalmist gives this really beautiful picture of unity. And he says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How many have ever gone out with a couple? Maybe you're married or dating and you had a couple friends you went out with and you didn't know it, but that couple was fighting. You didn't hear them fight. You didn't see them fight. You could just feel them fight. How many have ever been on that date? And you're just like, oh, it feels cold in here. Is it chilly? Did Satan come in? Is Satan here? Because you just feel like something's wrong. Your hair standing up on end. Why? You don't see it, but you feel it. And the scripture says how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. You know, I'm convinced, man, when things are harmonious, you can feel it. When there's peace, when there's unity, man, you can feel it. You want to hang out there. When there's unity in a church body and someone comes in to check out church, man, you can feel that stuff. It's pleasant. It's good. It's appealing. He said, it's like precious oil being poured on Aaron's beard, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's collar, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. All this oil being poured down Aaron's head and his beard and collar. How many think that sounds kind of gross? All I think of is a Duck Dynasty guy, someone pouring oil on him. I'm like, that's disgusting. But it was a beautiful picture because Aaron's being anointed as the priest, the guy that would offer sacrifice and intercede for a people. And the oil represented the work of the Holy Spirit that just saturated this guy. And not just his head a little bit, but down his beard and all over him. It was just a mess with a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When we're unified, God bestows his blessing. And not just a little, a lot. It's a good thing to find unity in the body. But it's not just unity that we fight for. I want to challenge you, fight for unity, man. Don't get disunified over little stupid things. You're like, that's not a technical term. It is. How many know what stupid things are? Next thing you're ready to get upset about something that just doesn't mean very much. That's a big theological issue. Just close your mouth and take a loss and fight for unity. But I want to talk about bodybuilding a little bit. And I'm not talking about hairless men in bikinis that are oiled and tan. Though that's a respectable sport and it's tough. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 gives us a clue as to what I'm going to talk about in bodybuilding. It says, but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. What does this mean? Jesus has dominated everywhere. When he died on the cross, the Bible points to the fact that he went to the lower regions and snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Ha! And all hell shook that day as Jesus showed up and says, I just paid the price of sin. I just conquered the grave. And those that were in Abraham's bosom, all of God's faithful, that at this time didn't, when they died, their spirits didn't go straight to heaven. They went to what was called paradise. Jesus describes it in one of his parables. And in paradise, you had Abraham and you had the faithful that had gone on before. And Jesus said, hey, guys, time to go home. Time to get out of here. I love that Jesus is above all, that he dominates everywhere. But it says, verse 11, it says, so Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. So there's five categories he gave. He gave ministers to the church. Verse 12 says, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So here's the thing. In this local church, we have some people that we call pastors. I'm the lead pastor. We have a youth pastor sitting over there, good-looking guy next to a better-looking wife. We have a children's pastor that actually just led worship right over there. Randy's utility pastor does it all. So we have pastors in our church. Pastors weren't given to go win the world for Jesus. We have pastors that equip the works of the saints. You're the saints. Say, hi, saints. You're the saints. The truth is, you're the ministers. You are the active body of Christ that is winning the world to Jesus. Our job is equipping saints for what? Works of ministry. So really, the work of ministry happens. Not, you know, a lot of times churches say, hey, I'm going to hire a pastor so we can do some ministry. A pastor is in place to equip the saints for works of ministry. That's where it gets fun and powerful. Why? Because we all have been gifted by Jesus himself with special giftings, with we're all different in our personalities, our makeups, to go out into this world and be effective. This is exciting. When I talk about bodybuilding, I'm talking about the excitement of being able to come in and build one another up so that we can do what we're called to do. I think it's important to know how you're built. Like, I have a friend in the back right here that can deadlift a mountain. He doesn't hardly try that much. That's what makes me mad about Dalton. Dude can lift everything. I wish I could deadlift as much as Dalton. He's built as a deadlifter. I can look at this guy as a powerlifting coach and say, bro, you could deadlift 700 pounds like pretty quick and beyond. I got to call that out. Now, there are other people that aren't made for that. If I went to DJ and said, DJ, I want you dead. No, man, we're going the wrong direction. That guy can, this guy can't. They're none better than the other. Different gifts. DJ runs me all over in racquetball. I hate him for it. He doesn't stop. He's the Energizer Bunny. Different gift. Spiritually speaking, we have different gifts in this body. God's arranged us with different abilities, different giftings. And part of the joy of being part of the body is to help call those out. To help come to someone and say, man, I can see you love to pray. I can see you love to talk to people about Jesus. I can see you're a real servant. I can see you're a teacher. And call those things out and encourage them. One of my, not to talk about deadlifting too much, but one of my favorite times of the week is Friday at 1 o'clock, I go deadlift with a bunch of people. Sounds fun, right? Nick, you were there. Went deadlift with us, but you were there. And it's fun because you've got people from all kinds of different, you got male, female, heavy, light, experience, inexperience, but they're all grabbing the same bar and going for it. And it's just fun. Everybody's encouraging one another and just a blast. I would love it if the church were more that way. I would love it if when people walk through these doors and you may be just starting your walk with Jesus and someone just slaps you on the back and says, man, you're going to make it. You're going to tear it up this week. Let me share you a verse. Let me talk to you about what God showed me this week. What are you reading in the Bible? What are you memorizing? How's your prayer life? Because you know why? You're just starting, man, but I see God in you and I see God's going to do something cool in you. Encouraging and cheerleading and bodybuilding. Building one another up in Jesus is so important. This should be the place where we get together and that kind of thing happens. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 32, if you take time and read the rest of this passage, you're going to find that there is just all kinds of encouragement to be strong in the Lord and build one another up. Verse 29 says this. It says, Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So, man, this place should be on fire with, you're going to make it. I see a gift in you. I encourage you to get into the Word. I encourage you to get into a small group. I encourage you to get into some books that talk about Jesus. I encourage you to memorize. Why do we do all this? Why do we fight for unity? Why do we fight for giftings? I'll tell you why. A lot of churches get goofy. How many have ever been part of a goofy church? Okay, raise your hand because you're part of one now. Churches have a propensity to do dumb things. Why? Because people have a propensity to do dumb things. How many have ever done dumb things in your life? And add to that, we have an enemy that desires to throw us off track. The Word of God is true cover to cover. It's our authority. It's our playbook. It's what we need to look at because it describes the Jesus we serve. And the enemy would love to come in and throw at us things that bring false doctrine. Let me show you real quick in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of cunning and by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The exciting thing about taking seriously Jesus' call to unity. And unity isn't just like, hey, we just get along. Unity is built around who Jesus is. He is Lord. The seriousness of figuring out who we're called to be. What's my part in the body? I'm called to be some part. I'm gifted somehow. What is it? And then how can I help others build up in that? Paul is saying, then we won't be tossed around by every teaching, every scheme, every cunning thing that may come down the pipe. It brings stability. You know what I love Crossings to be? A really unified place that knows our strengths and isn't tossed about by everything that comes down the pike, but have stability. Solid on God's word. Solid in the truth. And powerful. We're going to receive communion this morning. I'm going to ask the ushers to pass this out. Like I said last week, our membership at Crossings isn't a piece of paper. That doesn't go very far, I found. It's not a covenant you make. We don't have you say some certain words and say, yes, I will now commit to be a part of Crossings Church. Our membership for Crossings Church is really shown in these two symbols that are being passed out. In a piece of bread and a cup. And what these represent are really so, so powerful. The bread represents Jesus' broken body. And this is one of the few things Jesus said, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to do this all the time. For all the things He told us to do, He told us to do this. In remembrance of Him. So the bread represents His broken body. It represents that Jesus really came to a broken world and lived a sinless life and was broken for us. And the cup represents His shed blood. It represents that He was taken to a cross, that He was nailed to it. Before that, He was struck in the face. And His back was shredded. And He shed His blood for you and for me. and we're forgiven today, and we are members of the church, not because we signed a piece of paper or we said we would obey some rules, but because we believe that God loves us. Despite ourselves, God loves us. And he gave heaven's best, his own son. And he died for us. And he was broken and he bled. And he paid the price for my sin and your sin. And this is our price to admission. We're part of God's family. Forgiven and free. Not based on what we did, but based on what he has done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. And I love this last verse because these things are so tied together. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just in fact as you are doing. So as we hold this, we recognize he didn't appoint us to suffer wrath, but to experience salvation. But in this, therefore, we build each other up. Why do we build each other up? Because we're part of a body bought by the blood of the Lamb. You can look around this building and say, I may not have a lot in common with a lot of people in here, but one thing I do have in common, Jesus paid for them and he paid for me. And he's valuable to them and to me. He knows my name, he knows their name. And make no mistake about it, we're linked together as part of this family. And more than that, we need each other. So I want us to just remember this morning what Jesus did for us and why we're forgiven and why we're free. And that's great news. That alone is good. How many would say yes? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. And in sending your son, Jesus, and we recognize that he really came. We acknowledge that fact that Jesus, you came in the flesh and were broken for us. And we thank you for that. Let's receive the bread as a way of remembering Jesus' broken body. And Lord, we hold this cup and we say thank you. Lord, that we can be forgiven and free in you. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for our sins. Lord, we receive this cup, Lord, with joy. Let's receive the cup together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here's a really cool thing, gang. If you know Jesus, you're part of something so big. I'm proud to be part of this local body. I'm part of the big church body all over the world. And I know God's doing cool things. Hey, there in the brochure today, on the tear-off portion, there were a few challenges I threw out there. Number one, if you would like prayer, we really do pray for these needs every week. And then secondly, there's a few challenges today. I think finding out what you need to do in the body is important. And I just linked to an online survey for spiritual giftings. It's mintools.com. And if you would do that this week, just to find out, give yourself an idea, what are your spiritual gifts? You may take that test and say, I am not supposed to work with children. And if that's the case, thank God we know that. We don't want you over there. But we want you to find a place where you can serve. What are your giftings? What are your passions? What has God called you to in part of this body? Do you know what happens if you have a body part that doesn't work? We either cut it off or we call it an appendix or something. You know, it's one of these parts we don't know, tonsils, I don't know. Don't be the tonsils of the body of Christ. You know, find your place, you know, figure out what God's created you to be. Secondly, on this bodybuild once every day this week, and I'm not talking run to the gym and work on your biceps. When I say bodybuild, I'm saying call somebody in the church. Call someone you know is a believer and encourage their walk. Maybe it's within your own household. And go to that person and say, hey, I see this in you. Encourage their walk. How many know the world beats us down plenty enough? Don't be one of those. Go encourage somebody's walk, man. Be in the plus column. And then I want to challenge you, memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Thessalonians, thank you. 1 Thessalonians. If you read 5:11, it's probably some crazy verse about. I don't know, but I memorized it. Well, hey, as you leave this morning, ushers are standing in the back with baskets. Just drop those cards in there so we can just connect with you and pray for you this week. Will you stand with me? Father, I thank you for this church. I pray, Lord, that we'd be stable and strong in you, not blown by every wind of doctrine, not easily deceived, God, but solid in you because we're unified and we know who we're called to be because we love you, Lord. Bless your people in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you like prayer, we're going to be hanging around. We'd love to pray with you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.